Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Thank you. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you read anything off a screen during the course of this talk. You're all safe. No more awkwardness. It'll be fine. So as Andy has rightly said, my name's Aidan. I've been part of BCV since 2008. In my day job, I work for Storehouse, which is BCV's sort of compassion ministry that was birthed in this church. And alongside my wife, Joy, and I, we've been leading life groups in BCV for about 15 years, I reckon. So Andy introduced our new series last week. It's about life and community, and it kind of leads us into our season of life groups that will be kicking off in September. Sign-up is open. You're supposed to be more excited about that. Well, maybe at the end I'll try that again. You'll be excited. So what is community supposed to look like in BCV? What is the community of the church supposed to look like? Well, immediately we maybe think of church as being about Sunday. We all get together on Sunday, that's community. And it's great to be together on Sunday, but how much time do we actually get to listen to each other? Is it that like 2 minutes as the preschool kids are heading out and you barely get past, well, the weather's nice or not nice? You're not getting like that meaningful conversation and connection. And then you're probably getting silenced to listen to those all important invitations. Yes? Well, maybe you get chatting to someone at the coffee time afterwards. That's a great place to try and connect with someone. But what if you've come up and you're getting prayer ministry during that time, or you have to go and collect and supervise your children, or you need to rush off because you've got something on straight after church? Or what if the whole idea of that coffee time is actually just terrifying to you? What do you say? Who do you talk to? I know them, I know that person over there, but they're already talking to someone else. And maybe if I go and join in, I'm like interrupting their deep and meaningful conversation, and they're going to be annoyed with me. Well, we have life groups as well, beyond Sunday, and they're actually small groups. So that's not a life group on the screen, in case you were thinking, is that my life group? There's not going to be that many people. Think the previous slide that Andy showed with some wonderful people. I'm going to join that life group. They look great. There was about 6 of them. Well, there's probably about 10 people are going to be in your life group, meeting regularly in people's homes or maybe in this building. And their purpose is to develop relationships with people. It's to support each other in our walk with Jesus. It's not like programmed or manufactured, because like programmed and manufactured community, it isn't really community at all. It's about coming naturally as we create spaces where it can happen. It's somewhere we can actually talk and have a conversation with someone. The life groups are kind of set up to give you the chance to talk, to be listened to listen to others. This is where we get to know people like week to week, where we can ask, well, how did that thing you were talking about last week go? There's like continuity. It creates a sense of belonging. It creates community. We can know others and be known. We can share our joys and challenges with others, and they can share their joys and challenges with us. So we're going to talk about life groups this morning, and I want to look at 3 things. The first thing is life groups can be hard too. Just going to acknowledge that straight out. But there is some help. Paul gives us some really good advice in Romans 12 that we're going to look at. And then I really want us to understand that life in community and in our life group is actually about both giving to that group and receiving from that group. It's not one or the other, and it's about finding a balance somewhere in between that. In some seasons, we'll need to receive more, and some seasons we'll need to give more, but there's always going to be that element of giving and receiving to be a true community. Right, so let's get real for a moment. Life groups can be hard. By show of hands, I'm not going to make you read anything, I'm not going to pick on you, I just want you to put your hand up. By show of hands, who was in a life group this past year? Put your hand up. Yeah, good chunk of the room. That's good. Keep your hands up for the moment. Keep your hands up. You can do it. You can do this if you're struggling. So who of you who's got their hand up, have you ever experienced this, even just once? On the day of your life group, you think, I'm just going to skip life group tonight. Right? You know, you've had a busy week. You've got something you need to do. Or you just can't face it. Did anyone put their hand down? I'm not sure. I mean, you'll notice I haven't put my hand down. And there's a life group in my house. So, right, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. You're doing well. You're doing well. Keep your hand up if on any of those days where you thought, I just can't face it. I can't go to life group tonight. That you pushed through and you went anyway. That's quite a lot of you. And keep your hand up if you pushed through and you went anyway and you were glad you went. Maybe a couple. A hand goes back up there. I'm not sure what that was. But great. Okay, good. It's good to see where we're at in the room. Thank you for that. Thank you for humoring me. So Andy talked about this last week. Life group can be hard. And we'll talk from the front about how great life groups are. And some of you will probably be thinking, Aidan, that's not my experience all the time. It's hard. And maybe you're thinking, sometimes I go to life group and like I don't get anything out of it. Or sometimes I go to life group and I don't say anything in the discussion. Or maybe you're thinking, someone annoyed me in my life group last week. No one's thinking that. Okay, good. Or somebody said something that like offended me. Or maybe you're thinking, I had a problem and I told my life group about it and they prayed for me and like nothing's changed, nothing really happened. So what was the point in me being vulnerable and sharing with the group? And they're all like legitimate ways to feel. I felt all those things in my life group journey. And it's okay. But one of the most important things I've done in those situations is what you've done. You've showed up anyway. You show up the next week anyway, you push through. And more times than not, we're actually glad that we push through. We actually get something out of being there. But what advice does the Bible have for us about what a community of believers should look like? Well, Paul has something to say about this in chapter 12 of his letter to the Romans. And Andy talked a little bit about Romans last week, and he was focusing in on that idea that the many times it mentions gifts or grace and how Jesus turned the ancient world's ideas about gifts upside down. Do you remember any of this? So in the ancient world, a gift was given to someone who earned it or deserved it or you were trying to get something from. But Jesus said, you can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And you need to accept my free gift of grace. If you didn't hear Andy's talk from last week, I'd really recommend you tune in into that. You can catch it online. And Romans does have a lot of theology in it, right? It's including this idea of the gift of grace. So like in Romans 1-8, Paul like takes us on this theological journey explaining how our sin has separated us from God, how justification has made us right with God through our faith in Jesus as a free gift that we don't deserve. Then sanctification, so we're set apart and called to live in the spirit rather than the flesh. And then in chapters 9-11, Paul shows us that God's plan applies to everyone. It's not just Jewish people. And then there's this shift in chapter 12. Chapter 12 in verse 1, it like starts with this big word. It starts with therefore. Okay, so chapter 12 verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Therefore, so Paul's like saying, therefore, like in light of all I've written about in this letter up to this point, your journey from sin to justification and sanctification, this is the proper way for you to respond to that in your life. Therefore, in light of this undeserved gift I've explained to you in this letter, here's how you should live. Therefore, in light of God's plan that everyone Not just Jewish people should live in unity gathered around Jesus. This is what community should look like. And he unpacks that bit about community in chapter 12 from verse 9. And in my Bible, the title in there is Love in Action. So what does all this look like in the community of followers of Jesus? So by this stage, Paul had been traveling around, he'd been planting churches for like 20 years. So I suspect he knew a thing or two about what helped a church to live out their purpose and maybe what didn't help. So let's read it together. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, Romans chapter 12, we're going to read from verse 9. So it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So let's just pull out a few highlights from that passage that we've just read. What are Paul's top tips for how we're supposed to actually do this in practice? And I would argue why we need to be in community and be in a life group and be part of that to actually get to grips with this on a practical level. So it says right at the start in verse 10, be devoted to one another. This means showing up even when you don't want to. But you seem to all have got that. That's great. Or for you, it actually could mean signing up to one of our life groups this term, even when you don't want to. It was encouraging earlier to see that you do show up even when you don't want to, but you ended up like glad that you'd pushed through. That's what being devoted to one another is about, and that's how community is formed. We all have to be committed. He goes on to say, honor one another above yourself. So that's one another. It's not life group leader, be devoted to the people in your group, and everyone else can just show up. It's actually giving and receiving. I wonder how many of you who pushed through and went to life group when you didn't really want to go, we're glad you did, because not only did it help you, but actually you were able to help someone else in the group because you were there. So it's about being able to help someone, and actually helping others gives us purpose. Keep your spiritual fervor. The Greek word Paul uses for fervor is zeontes, which literally means boiling or glowing. Hang around people who are committed in their relationship with God, and it will rub off on you. In life groups, you have the opportunity to hear others' experiences and encounters with God, and it gives you heat to keep your own faith boiling. Be joyful in hope. We have a hope, as J.I. Packer puts it, that the best is yet to come. That whatever happens to us between now and our death or Christ's coming, that Christ has defeated death and we have an eternal hope. But the enemy would love to rob you of that hope. He'd love to steal away that hope that you find in Jesus. So how do we stay hopeful, even maybe when Christ just seems a bit far away? Well, one of the best ways, I think, is to see evidence of God at work now. When we witness the Holy Spirit at work in someone else's life, or we hear testimony from someone about what Jesus is speaking to them about, we feel hopeful. And that hope points us to that eternal hope. Maybe you haven't felt the Holy Spirit moving in your life for a while. talk to someone who has, and it will remind you that he's still at work. And Life Group is a great place to hear those stories. Patient, be patient in affliction. And this doesn't work in isolation either. You need to see people who've been through something to show you there is a way through. And I've seen this many times in Life Groups I've been part of. We're doing prayer ministry, and there's an invitation for people to ask for prayer, and someone finds a bit of courage to talk about what's really going on in their life, and they ask the group to pray for them. And then another member of the group says, I've been through something really similar. Can I pray for you? And there's actually great power in that prayer, because the person praying knows what the other person's going through. Whether their prayer changes the situation or not, the person who requested prayer is usually going to feel better for having shared, because they know someone else understands. They have patience in their affliction. We can help each other with that. Be faithful in prayer. So let others pray for you. That's part of this. Be faithful in praying for others, giving and receiving. At our life group a few months ago, someone requested prayer for healing, and another person said, yeah, I'll pray. And we invited them to come and put their hands on the person who needed healing, and they just prayed a really simple prayer, and the person experienced healing right there and then. And afterwards, the person who prayed said, that was actually the first time I've put hands on someone to pray for them. And it was with the encouragement of the group to do that. And that's being faithful in prayer in my eyes. It's being willing to pray. It's being willing to be courageous. It's being willing to take a risk. And it worked in that case. Share with those who are in need. So when you're in need, ask for help. When someone in your life group asks for help, help them. How do we know that people need help? Because we're in community with them. How do we know who to ask for help? We ask the community. You need to be in community to make that work. Practice hospitality. So be hospitable and be prepared to receive hospitality. So that is two-way. That's not just let yourself receive hospitality from your life group leader and don't do it yourself. We covered that last year when I was talking to you, so I'm not going to labor the point, but I will give you one of my favorite quotes about that from Christine Pohl, who wrote a great book on hospitality called Making Room. She says, hospitality is not just the act of being present to others, it is also the willingness to receive from them. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. So you might think, okay, he's going to talk about Storehouse in this bit. He's going to tell me we should all come and volunteer at Storehouse, because you'll see people who you wouldn't normally cross paths with. You'll be able to hear their stories and understand their lives better, and maybe you'll be able to help. Well, you should do that, but we're talking about life groups. And don't volunteer at Storehouse so that you can say, well, I've ticked that box, and then the rest of the week I can go and hang out with the people who are like me. So do you ever just want to spend time with people who are just like you? You don't need to put your hand up to that one. It just feels easier. Maybe we focus on relationships with people we can get something from. They have a nice house. They know lots of fun people. They've got lots of money. Well, that's not what Paul tells us to do. He basically says, build relationships with people who don't appear to outwardly have anything to offer you. And you may just find that you receive more than you think you're going to receive. The thing about life groups is you don't choose who else is in it. Sorry about that. Yes, you can choose the leader, and there's some wonderful leaders that we have. Go online and check it out. But there might be people in your life group that you wouldn't normally spend time with. But it's an opportunity to hear their story and understand their lives better. You can help them. Maybe you will receive from them in unexpected ways. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So the easy way to not fall out with anyone is to move to a desert island for the rest of your life and don't interact with anyone ever again, right? Okay. Yeah, tricky one that. But that's not what we're made for either. Paul, I think, is surprisingly honest here. He doesn't say, if you're a proper follower of Jesus, you'll get along swimmingly with everyone. He says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, meaning you're not going to be able to get on well with everyone, but you can try, and don't go looking for disagreements. But one of the things I've mentioned already a few times is there's so much of this is two-way. It's about giving and receiving. It's mutual. And it's the mutuality of the thing that can be hardest for us to navigate. That word mutuality, I'll give you a definition of that so we're all on the same page. It means a shared reciprocal relationship or dependence between two or more parties characterized by shared feelings, joint efforts, or equal obligations. See, Paul's advice in Romans 12 is mutual. It's reciprocal. It's about one another, one on to the other. We learn love, joy, hope, patience, faithfulness, peace only in relationship with others. And many of these things are the fruit of the Spirit that Paul wrote about in his letter to the Galatians. And we've talked about that a lot recently. We see the fruit in our relationships with others in community. Being faithful in prayer can be asking for prayer as much as it is praying. Serving is about helping others and also being open to ask for help from others. And when we do community from a place of mutuality, we can, as Paul talks about this, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Well, we don't just rejoice with someone because we're happy for them, or we mourn because we're sad for them. When we're in community, we have a stake in their celebration or their pain. So we rejoice because we stood with them in prayer, and that prayer was answered. We were involved. Or we mourn because we journeyed with the person, and we hoped for something different, and we feel their sense of hopelessness that it hasn't come to pass. And you can't do that genuinely unless there's community. It can't be one-sided either. You have to rejoice and mourn with me and I with you. You have to give and receive. If all you do is give, by the way, if all you're doing is giving in and you're not receiving, you either just burn out, or you become embittered from constantly giving. You don't give from a place of love, but from a place of obligation. Remember chapter 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. If all you do is receive, so you're just in a life group, like it's a service that the church provides, I'll go to this life group and see what I can get out of it, and you don't take responsibility for yourself, then you can just become dependent on others to fix your problems, or you blame others when your problems aren't fixed and you don't look at what you can do to help yourself. We're looking for what the author Stephen Covey describes as interdependence. He says, as an interdependent person, I have the opportunity to share myself deeply, meaningfully with others, and I have access to the vast resources and potential of other human beings. Is that not what we all need to navigate our way through this chaotic world that we live in? To know others and be known by others. Other brothers and sisters in Christ on this journey. And we have access to all the things that meaningful relationships can bring to our lives. Instead of being dependent on others, so we're all receiving, we're not taking responsibility for ourselves, or separating ourselves off and becoming independent of others, I don't need anybody, I can do it all myself. What we really need is that interdependence. And let's come back to what Andy said in his talk last week. He said we need to understand Jesus' gift to us. And one of the things I've been contemplating about that this week is the freedom that comes from understanding the grace of Jesus. That free gift of grace is supposed to bring us freedom. If we experience the freedom that Christ gives us, we can freely give. One of the verses Andy shared last week was Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. If we're secure in who God has made us to be, and our identity is found in what Christ has done for us, that brings us a freedom to give ourselves freely, not expecting anything in return. And it brings a freedom that we can receive from others without having to feel like we have to return the favor or we owe that person something now. If we understand what Jesus has done for us, it means we don't do things on the basis of what we want to do or what is only of immediate benefit to us. So we seek first his kingdom. When we go to others with our struggles, when we've really experienced freedom in Christ and we go to others with our struggles, it's not because we expect them to sort us out, but it's so they can point us towards Jesus. And when others come to us with their struggles, we don't try to take it all upon ourselves to sort out. We point them towards Jesus. If we understand what Jesus has done for us, we are secure in who we are. And that means we don't blame others for our problems. We don't get annoyed because no one has noticed that we need help and we're far too independent to ask for help. Understanding Jesus' free gifts means we are not focused on ourselves, we're focused on Jesus. If we think we have to do it all on our own, we find our own limits pretty quickly. And again, back another Stephen Covey quote for you. He describes it, I guess. He says, there's little security, guidance, wisdom, or power in the limited center of self. Like the Dead Sea, it accepts but never gives. It becomes stagnant. None of you want to be stagnant, do you? And as I said at the start, community can be hard. Life groups can be hard. Relationships can be hard. And we all need help with this. So I want to take some time for you to respond to what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you this morning. Like, do you need, first of all, do you need to contemplate Jesus' gift of grace to you? Is that your starting point? Maybe you even want to accept Jesus' gift of grace for the first time today. And there's going to be a prayer ministry team coming up shortly who would love to meet with you and pray with you about that. Do you need to reset how you think about giving and receiving in community? Do you need to experience the freedom Jesus brings again today that means you can see everything as a gift from him? A gift that you can give away, giving your time, your energy, your money, as it's all God-given in the first place. And if you want us to pray with you for that, we'd love to. Or maybe, do you need to receive more? Maybe you feel guilty about taking other people's time and energy with your problems, like you're a burden to them. Well, my advice on that one is join a life group. Everyone has already given up their time and energy to be there, right? It's not just for you. And what if you were able to practice asking for help and asking for prayer, and that maybe that would actually help your situation? Or maybe you're just burnt out from giving, or your motivation is obligation rather than genuine care. This is what I have to do. Or do you recognize yourself as someone who's avoiding doing things that you don't want to do or things that have no immediate benefit to you? And maybe you just need to seek Jesus today to help you change that narrative. So the prayer ministry team are going to come up, and Isaac's going to come up and play over us. I'm going to pray for us, and then there's going to be the opportunity for you to receive prayer at the front. There's also going to be tea and coffee at the back and good things to eat. Or if you just want to stay in your seat and receive, that's fine. There are children who will need picked up as well. But can I invite you to stand? And I'm just going to pray for us to close. Yeah, come Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit, you are here and you're speaking. And this is something that is going to be different for each person who's in the room, Lord, but you know what each person needs to hear in this moment. Lord, you know what each of us needs to do to connect with you today in this moment. How are you asking us to respond, Lord? What practical steps can we take? What steps can we take that allow us to hear from you this morning? Yeah, Jesus, would you just show us, remind us again of that free gift of grace? We thank you for it. There's nothing else like it. But would you allow that to speak to us today, that fact? And would it bring freedom? I just speak freedom over my brothers and sisters today. Would you show them what freedom in you truly looks like? And Lord, for those who just feel guilty about being in community and taking up people's time and burdens and energy, would you just break that off today and just allow them to receive? And for those who are burnt out from giving, who just feel like that's what they have to do, would you just show them what they need to do to receive from you, but also receive from community, receive from their brothers and sisters today? Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you for who you are. We just want to receive from you. We just want to know your heart for us today. In your mighty name. Amen. So if you want to respond to anything, please come up the front. We'd love to pray for you. If you need to go and collect kids, you can go and do that. If you just want to sit where you are, that's totally fine as well. There'll just be a bit of space here for you to respond. But thank you for coming. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.